I invite you to join me in our prayer for illumination. Let's invite the Holy Spirit's presence. Praying as one. Almighty God, you have spoken to us through your Son. Let your written word now be spoken and heard by each of us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, that we may not refuse your calling or ignore your voice. May we all be taught by you through your powerful word. Bring our every thought captive to obeying Christ, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Is this on? Yeah, now it is. It's from James 3, 1 through 12. And I'm reading from the New International Version, which is also the Pew Bible, but I realized this morning that the online version is a little updated, so you will sometimes hear it slightly different. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alrighty, kids, come on up. Awesome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Fantastic. So I have four of you here, and that's great because I have a question, and I actually don't know the answer myself, but I'm hoping that you guys know. The answer is not on my phone. Surprise, surprise. Where is the light switch in our church? Who knows? Yeah? Go. Let's go there. Let's go there together. Let's find the light switch. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, go. See if it works. Yeah, go, go. Yeah, so see if it works. How do you use it? Is it broken? Yeah, let's try that one. I think you have to use these. No. It's not working. What's happening? So maybe this is... Maybe this is not actually the light switch. Go, let's try that one. Maybe we should ask the gentleman there. He might know. Do you know? What else? So we found, so people in the church might not see it now, but we found a light switch. It's not the one here, but it's the one for like the lobby there. Okay, let's go back to the front, guys. Yeah, we found a light switch for the lobby. So we found a light switch. I want you to think about another switch. This morning, there was very beautiful organ music. Now, does the organ always work?
No.
Now, what do you need to do in order for it to produce a noise?
Put batteries in it.
Yeah, there is a switch on the organ. Thank you, Holland. Thank you. Right now it's on. Yeah. So lots of things have switches, right? But I want you to think about the light switch. And I want you to do something. Try to say the word light.
Light.
Light. Very good. Now try to say the word light without using your tongue.
Light.
That's really difficult, right?
I did it.
Try to say the word dark without your tongue. Dark without your tongue. Yeah,
I said it.
So we.
What do we need to say?
Dark. Without your tongue. So realize how difficult that is. Like, you can still produce a sound, like, but the people in the congregation will have a really hard time hearing what we're actually saying.
Bye.
Yeah.
We need our tongue to talk.
Right. Now I want you to just be quiet for a little bit. Yeah, we need our tongue to talk. Just like we need the switch to turn on the light and to turn off the light, we need the switch to turn on the organ. Now, the light switch is really small, right? But it can still turn on all the lights in the whole church building. The switch on the organ is also really small. But when you turn it on, the organ produces a lot of noise and everybody can hear it. So the tongue is a little bit like that. Your tongue is a little bit like a switch. You need your tongue to make words. Right, we just try that. We try to say the word, right? We try to say the word light.
Woohoo!
We try to say the word light without a tongue, and it didn't really work, right? Now, yeah, that sounded really weird. So now I want you to think about your words, okay? Because when you say words, you can choose words that make someone else's day light. Or you can choose words that make someone's day dark. Now, what are some words that you can say to other people, like your friends or your parents, that make their day light?
I love you.
I love you.
You are awesome.
You are awesome.
What's another thing that you can say to make someone's day light?
You'd like to try, Henry?
Yes.
Oh, something that makes someone happy.
I love my mom.
Now see how your mom is immediately, she starts smiling. So that means that. That means that you made her happy when you said that. Okay, do you want to try one as well, Liam?
No.
So, one more.
I love my dad.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
So, with our words, we have a choice. We can use our tongue to make words that make people happy. We can also use our tongue to make words that make people very sad. And today's sermon is about that. Today's sermon is about how do we use our tongue. And Jesus asks us to use our words to make people happy and to make their days light. So we're going to pray now. We're going to ask God to help us to do that every day. Yeah? What's that? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have made our bodies really beautiful and really awesome, and that you have given us a tongue to make words. And we can say many words. And we ask that every day you help us to choose words that bring light to other people, to our friends, to our parents, to everyone around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I'm going to say one more thing that I think will make you happy. I have some candy for you. Who would like candy? Yeah? Here, hold up your hand. It's a surprise color. It's really delicious, but it's a surprise color. No, it's candy. It's not gum. It really is candy. One is pink, some are yellow, and some are orange. Henry, do you want the candy? You want the candy? Do you like a candy? No, you want candy? You want to give it to your mom or to your sister? Yeah, I'm going to put it in your hand. I'm going to put it in your hand. No, 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 hold on. Try it. Maybe you will really like it. And now you go and go back to your seats. And remember to use your words to make light. It's called Mentos.
Mentos? Oh, wow.
Thank you, Petra.
That's great, Petra. Thank you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I love that children's sermon. It shows the power that words have to make someone smile. Of course, we all know that we don't always use words to make others smile. Sometimes our words are thoughtless, or we say something out of anger and wish we could take it back. I remember this was several years ago here now at Abundant Life. Someone did a children's sermon where they took a tube of toothpaste and they shoved all of the toothpaste out of the tube and then asked the kids to put it back. As a demonstration that the words that we say are not easily put back. James is right here when he talks about the tongue being a fire. And fires are not easily contained once they are sparked. We know that from images of wildfires out west. A few months ago, there was a house fire right down the street here, and fire trucks from all over the area, five or six different towns, showed up on the street to try to get this thing under control so it wasn't a total loss. It takes a massive effort to contain a fire, and in the same way, it takes a massive effort for us to contain the things that we say, to the point that Jesus actually said that if your tongue causes you to sin, it would be better for you to cut it out than to let it drag you to the grave. There's a thought. Although, as the kids demonstrated, even if you don't use your tongue, you can still make noise. Of course, James begins the passage today with a special message for teachers. There are more than a few teachers in our midst here. And the message is this: not many of you should become teachers. And like we're like 3 weeks into the school year now, a couple weeks in, and you're probably agreeing with James, teachers, saying, yeah, you know, you're probably right about that. But it's not for the usual reasons. He's not saying that teachers ought to be denigrated in some way. He's actually lifting up teachers to say, what you do is so vitally important, and yet so dangerous all at the same time. Because what do? They stand up in front of a group of people, and they speak. And presumably, the ones who are listening are receptive to that message, and then will turn around and go out and maybe live their lives differently based on what has been said to them. We as teachers have incredible power. And as Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker on the eve of his becoming Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. James is lifting this up and saying, folks, if you're going to teach, then this is something that you need to be keenly aware of. In our world right now, there's a lot of controversy about the power of speech and whether a person can be held accountable or not for actions from other people that follow their own speech. If I were to tell you to go and do something illegal after the service today, and you went out and did it, the question is, am I to be held responsible because I'm the one who told you? Or is it your own responsibility, and am I not culpable? And that's a serious question. What James is saying here is, teachers, you are responsible for the things that you say and for the actions that other people take. So then, we might ask, is it better for us than not to say anything at all? Would it be better for us just to not speak? Pretty hard. Any of you ever been to like a silent retreat ever? Where like you go and spend like 24 hours in complete silence? Now if you've never had this experience before, you ought to try it. You can go, there are retreat centers around and they have these silent retreats. And basically you go and they give you some direction about what you should do for that 24-hour period. But it is amazing to go. And it's not like you're all by yourself. You're there with other people. But it's so strange to go and go through a food line together and sit at the same table with other people, but everyone is keeping this vow of silence and no one is speaking to each other. Everyone is the wisest person in the room because no one is opening their mouths to prove otherwise. But when we take a vow not to speak, something amazing happens. Our ears begin to open. We start to listen. And if we have taken that vow of silence into a situation where others are speaking, we find we listen better. And why is that? Not because anything has happened to our ears, but our brains are not constantly thinking about what we are going to say. And instead, we are receptive to the things that other people have to say. James thinks about speech and the power that it has like this. He uses horseback riding, for instance. Horses are massive. And if they start to run, they are hard to slow down. Unless they have a bit in their mouths. And you can control this animal that is several times larger than you with the mouth. By controlling its head, you control the rest of it. And if horseback riding isn't your thing, maybe sailing is your thing, right? A tiny rudder can affect the whole direction of a ship, no matter how large it is. So James says, your tongue controls the rest of your body. Now, one of the things you'll notice about this letter of James as we go through this over the next few weeks is that there's one thing that James cannot stomach. And that is what he would call double-mindedness. Trying to hold two things in tension is something that James just cannot fathom. He says the problem is that we come to church and we sing praises to God, and then as we are pulling out of the parking lot, we yell at the person who ran through the stop sign. We, with the same tongue, we praise God and we curse God's creation. And he says, that's not something we can have, folks. Does an apple tree produce figs? Does a fresh spring produce salt water? No. So how is it that we can be simultaneously praising God and cursing God's creation at the same time? Does it not all flow out of the same spring? James says, if you could control this, if you always spoke words of love, then you would be a perfect person. Now, I think James knows full well there are no perfect people. And I think that James knows full well that no one does this perfectly. And so we will return again to what we talked about last week. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Grace continues to abound in these situations. And yet, James knows, and we should know, that our speech really does matter. All James is trying to do is to make his congregation cognizant of the fact that the things that you say matter. And they matter most to your Christian witness. Remember that James is writing to Christians who are spread out all over the world, perhaps in places where there are not an abundance of Christians around. And so he knows that the things that folks say and the folks that things do are the only Jesus that neighbors and co-workers will experience, which is true for us as well. Even with the abundance of churches that there are, more than enough capacity for everyone in this entire area to have a pew with plenty of room around, even still, most people are not in a church hearing God's word today. Which means that when you go to the store later, or when you go to work tomorrow, or when you go to the gym, or wherever it is you're going to go, the folks that you are there with, there is a good chance that they have not experience the good news of Jesus Christ this week. Which means they'll hear it from you. They'll see it in your actions and in my actions. And so James wants us to be acutely aware that if our words, not just the things that we speak, by the way, but the stuff that we type on a computer screen, put up on a social media network, those things matter. And we'll be held accountable for those things. And as Petra demonstrated for us really well with the kids, when we put good stuff out there, when we use our tongues to bless other people, it brings happiness It brings joy. It brings good stuff. And not just to the people who receive it, by the way. When we use our tongue in positive ways, it has an impact on us, too. I want you to do an experiment. Turn to the person that you came with, or if you didn't come to anyone, look at me. And smile at them. Right? Even if you don't feel like smiling, they'll smile back. And you, even if you don't feel smiling, when you see someone smile at you, you smile back at them. And something happens inside of your brain. And why is that? Because God has created us for joy. To bring joy. And receiving joy brings us joy, and giving joy brings us joy. And so if we are a people who bring joy in the things that we say, if even a smile can raise someone's spirits, then James says that's the kind of witness that we ought to have. But it all starts here. It starts here with the things that we say. The things that we write, the stuff that we put out there for others. And so, as your mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, then you shouldn't say anything at all. James probably agrees with that. But more so, James wants you to know that the Spirit of God is alive inside of you, cultivating a spring deep within you that will bring forth good things. So let's put in some effort this week, my church friends. Let's see if we can do this. Let's do a little experiment. Every day, say 5 nice things to someone. Intentionally. Don't look back at the end of your day and say, oh, I think I said 5 nice things. No, write it down. Keep track. Let's see. Let's see if James is right. Let's see if we use the same tongue that we use in church to bless God, if we use that same tongue to bless people, let's see if it makes a change in our households. Let's see if it makes a change in our workplaces. Let's see if we drive differently. Let's see if we have a different regard for the things that come our way. Let's put James to the test to see if the little tongue is the rudder that steers our ships this week. I'll be excited to see feedback. Maybe one of you will have a story to share next Sunday, something to write up. I'll be excited to see it, to see what the Holy Spirit is going to do with a church that speaks blessings into our world. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this lesson from James and for calling attention to the things that we say and the importance and the responsibility that we have as Christians, as people of faith, as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, to speak blessing and joy and peace into our world. Lord, give us grace when we fail in that. Patience, not to beat ourselves up when we fail, but instead to persevere. And the Spirit to continue to guide us in that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me as we profess our faith? And today we're going to use Article 1 of the Belgic Confession. one of the oldest standards of Reformed Christianity. What do you believe about God? We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all good. Amen.